The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry with Joe McGill.
Good morning, good morning. How are you this morning? I'm Joe McGill and you're listening to the Saturday Supplement. And I hope I find you well wherever you are listening to us around the world on RadioKerry.ie or on the traditional wireless 96 to 98 FM. And speaking about listening to us all over the world, we've a lovely email we got in last night for our In Focus photography slot, which I'll tell you about very shortly. But it just goes to show where people do listen to us from. All kinds of places everywhere in the world, and I'll get to that very shortly. Very busy program for you on this beautiful May morning. Did any of you bring in the May, or is that still a thing? You know, on the 1st of May, where you go in, you go out and you bring in a flower, or you bring in some kind of a plant, you know, to bring in the May, it's called. I'm wondering, because we didn't do it this year, and I did do it other years, but I don't think it brought the summer with it when I did do it. But that's what it's meant to do, isn't it? Now, I know May the 1st was actually a beautiful morning, so maybe that's a good sign of things to come. But do you bring in the May? 066-723-666. You can text the WhatsApp 083-300-3300. And well done to everyone involved this morning in Darkness into Light. A lot of you up very early and you've it all done. And maybe some of you are gone back into the lab after doing it. Or maybe you stay up. I don't know. I suppose some people kind of meet for a coffee then after, don't they? Now, the weather was good enough, but I'd say it was showery too. So let me know how you got on. Now, very busy programme, as always. We'll hear the first episode of A Blast of Kerry. Now, this is a unique eight-part series produced by Mairead Ní Bhunaithe, where we provide an insight into the amazing variety of family food businesses represented in Kerry. And some of the most ancient of these trades goes back centuries, and in many of the family businesses we will profile are handed down from generation to generation. And our story aims to reveal the magnificent story and history associated with traditional family food businesses in Kerry. And in our first episode, we hear from Michael and Sandra O'Dowd of Ring of Kerry Apple Farm outside Castlemaine. And we also have our monthly In Focus photography slot with Dominic Walsh, who I'm delighted to say is in studio with us. Dominic, how are you this morning?
I'm fine, Joe, this morning. I had a great morning, Joe. I was up at 3:15 getting ready. Camera in
hand. I was going to bed at that time.
You were going to bed at that time. Camera in hand, flash in hand and everything, and off down to the wetlands in Tralee to meet the hordes of people. I mean, there was hundreds of people there this morning in the Darkness into Light, and there was people there. And it was all over the country. And you know, like, and I was talking to people this morning that were going for the walk. Some people were going cycling, some people were going swimming out to the sea afterwards, and some people were going for walks up a mountain.
Whoa, so they weren't going back into the lab.
They were not going back into the lab.
Before you talk about Darkness into Light, tell us your itinerary for today now. So you got up at what time?
I was up at 3:15 this morning.
Right.
Darkness into Light. Radio show between 9 and 10.
Yes.
Studios for Holy Communions start at 10:30. So my studio's busy all day for studios coming in, and I have two later PR jobs this evening to work on. And then I was hoping to get to the Kinder County Fair at some stage for the Irish Examiner today, but I don't know, when I get there it'll probably be tomorrow. So that's my day today.
Whoa, that's one of your busiest days of the year, is it?
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
It is my busiest day. Like, and I was working in Cork during the week, so I didn't have time to catch up here. So I had a couple of days in Cork this week, and now I'm back in Kerry working the weekend. But I'm getting there, Joe.
We'll have to keep you now kind of in good form, because you could be kind of cranky now getting up that early. And if you're going to at communion photos, you wouldn't want to be cranky, would you? You'd want to have a lot of patience, I'd imagine.
Oh, we'll have a ball to hold communion. We'll have a ball to hold communion like that. So it's a great day, actually, John. The families are in, and everybody's in, and everybody's excited, everybody's running, and everybody's rushing, do you know, and that. I'll tell you a quick story, and we'll go back to Darkness into Light. A couple of years inside in the studio, when I'm inside my studio, I've got these things, they're like these dolls that you get to kind of stack into each other.
Oh, the Russian dolls.
Russian dolls.
Yeah.
My little seats that you sit on stack into each other like that.
All
so,
right.
Like, I can position them around. I've got high ones and low ones and different ones, so I can position the families when I'm doing the studios. But we were inside one day, and it has happened about 3 times now, but we were taking shots, and there was a young person missing. and nobody knew where it was. Mom was very stressed, as they are during the day.
It's like Home Alone or something.
Trying to get organised, and child missing. Doors opened, running out the doors, running up the driveway, running around trying to find the child. But I noticed that none of the young people left. So after a while, we copped on anyway that one of the kids had put one of these little seats that I had, the cones, down on top of the child, and this child sat there. I set up the whole photograph, and nobody copped on until we actually looked at the photograph afterwards. So mom's not too happy, you know, so these things happen.
Well, we wish you the best of luck with it. Just one final question on that. Is it, you know, up against the church wall, or is it inside your own studio you do?
This is my own photographic studio that I have.
Oh, so they come in?
They'll come in, studio lights set up, background set up, and take like that. Now, I go on location as well, actually, for a long time.
Was that always the way for you, or did you gradually go to the studio kind of set?
I was always involved. When I started, I was a studio and wedding photographer.
Yeah.
And I progressed in onto, let's say, other aspects of photography, be it press or PR or let's say, commercial work and that. So I was always a studio photographer. I started very young doing that. So I'm used to being in the studio like that. But I love taking, we do it as well. We've couples now, families in, and we're going to go to the beach.
Yeah.
Or we're going to go to the woods.
Really?
It's quite a popular thing as well. And not a lot of people actually will take their pictures today, as their whole communion day. I think out of my studios coming in today, I think there's only three are actually having their whole communion today, whereas others are due to have it next week or another stage like that, and they come in, get it done, and get it out of the way.
And you'll kill me now, but do kids still put their hands together, like I'm motioning now, you know, that was the old thing,
rose beads around the hand. It's an option. It's not done as much, but parents do ask for it. What you do is you get the rosary beads and the prayer book, you'd open them up and you'd hold the hands together and you slot the prayer book in, the hand in that. If you come into my studio now today, I've run out of Holy Communion books. I had about four or five of them there, but the students that come in, they forget to bring the books.
Oh, gosh.
And I'd give them the Holy Communion books and they go away.
First photo I ever took was on my Holy Communion day. We went for, you know, the way you'd go for a trip somewhere.
Yes.
And we went out kind of Lamb's Head direction, and I had one of those disposable cameras and I took photos, and there was one particular, we had to stop on the side of the road because all these goats came out in front of us. And I've loads of photos at home of goat's legs. That was the extent of the photos I took. No, they weren't expertly taken, but no, the weird bitching photography, that was at the Holy Communion, was my first photo.
Because my first photography lesson came during my whole communion when I was about 6 or 7, and my uncle took pictures in his house, and he was showing me, he was holding up the newspaper to reflect the light. It was the Kerryman newspaper. He was reflecting the light off the window up towards me, and that was my first lesson. That's when I actually got my interest in photography.
Brilliant. Darkness into light, getting back to it, you've brought a lovely photo with us. You actually sent me a good few photos this morning, wonderful photos. The lighting is a kind of a thing you have to really, that's why you mentioned your flash, you have to be careful, don't you, at that hour of the morning.
Yes.
You have a wonderful photo here. Is that a mother and daughter?
That's a mother and daughter.
Are they two sisters?
No, well, they actually look like sisters.
Yeah,
you're nearly right there. It's Noreen and Mary Rose Breen from Anna in Tralee. And what we did was, I brought them down. It was down in the wetlands. And the thing about taking pictures this time of the year, what I tend to use, I always use a wide-angle lens when it's very dark, because it pulls in the light and you get a nice sky behind it. And with my flash, I took this at 30 of a second, which is still quite fast, really. I would have gone, so lens 14-24, f-stop 5.6, the ISO was up to 3,200. That's extremely, extremely high. And I do focus lock. And what I do with my flash, we call it pulling the flash back. In other words, what I'm doing is, when it's sunny outside, you tend to raise the amount of light you're firing out. But when it's dark like this, you tend to drop the light down. You only want a bare little bit of a pop to get it, because you want to pull in the ambient light around. It works, the picture, they're together, they're smiling. And just something this morning, it was kind of a joyful occasion. People were laughing, giggling and going around, and people were hugging each other and talking. It was a great atmosphere, and it was a great social occasion. So it was great to be out there.
Yeah, Mary Rose Breen and Noreen from Anna in Tralee. They're the models and the photo. You brought in another photo then with you, and that's Movie Away from Darkness into Light, of clowns, is it?
Of two clowns. That's correct, yeah. Now, I'm just going to pull up the information here now, because I actually have their names, and their names are very technical, actually. Oh, yeah, it's called, the clown on the left's called Potts, and the clown on the right is called Pens. On that. This is the launch of the food fairs coming up in Tralee very shortly.
Pots and Pans, is it?
Pots and Pans.
Oh, very good.
They're the clowns. It's coming up in May, the 20th and 21st of May this month. On that. And all the rules of photography are gone. When I took this photograph, I've no straight lines. I've turned the photograph almost up inside. I got them leaning into each other and they've got loads of bubbles coming up. The little bubble machine, which they put into the pot for me, and the bubbles are flying up and going around the air. And so, like, when you're dealing with professions like this and you ask them to do something, they do it. They're smiling, there's beautiful faces in there, and they're very happy looking clowns.
Yeah.
On that, very happy. And it's just the fact that I've just given it, I've used a dark background and I've popped a little bit of flash to bring up, and that highlights the bubbles when they're coming up and creates a glare, a kind of a sheen off the bubbles as they're going up on that. So as you see, all the angles are off and rules in this were completely broken.
Which is appropriate when you're taking photos of clowns.
Yes, exactly.
This other photo is, it's kind of movie-like, to be honest, of an individual with kind of kids in the background. And tell us about this. This is an exciting development in Kerry.
This was very exciting, actually. This was a job that I was doing for the Kerry ETB. And if people are not aware, we've a new Irish secondary school has opened up, a brand new state-of-the-art school, and that has opened up during the week in Tralee, on that, and it can cater for 600 students. I think there's over 320 there at the moment. It is just, this school is the state-of-the-art. And this is the teacher, Rory O'Kaneda, in the morning, and all the students are behind him, and as you can tell, he's now having the chat with the students, the kind of the rules of the school, and when you come in, this is where you go along the corridor, and this is where you stand, and if you have any issues, that you need to go to this room and that room. He was talking, and it's just, when I went to take a picture and to work out what I wanted to do, I wanted to capture there were so many students there.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, he's like the king of his castle, do you know? He's there, he's the person in charge, he's the go-to person on that. He's there on the day, he's talking to a circle around of students, and he's so intent. And even from watching him, he had all these signals. The hands were going left, the hands were going right, the hands were pointing this way and going up that way.
He looks like he's motivating.
Motivating. Well, actually, yeah. he's speaking, he's motivating, he's telling them like that, you know, and that, like, this is where the science room is, to the left, and when you go up there, it's to the right.
In my head now, this is, he's doing like Goodwill Hunting speech or something, that he's like telling him about life, and you know, that's the way it looks to me. It's kind of very cinematic. That's why I was saying, you know, he's pointing, you know, his eyes, and he looks like he's determined. You know, you're rooting it that he's saying where the science room is.
Well, and you know something,
where the toilets are.
And you know, I have to be perfectly honest, like, he was speaking Osceola, and I do not have any Osceola at all. You know, and I'd have a couple of words now, right? Like,
couple of fuckle.
Yeah, couple of, but he could be saying anything to him, and I was just watching. But I was kind of more interested in the composition and the speak and how he was, like, verbalising himself. And the thing about it is, when this gentleman spoke, everybody listened.
Yeah.
And it just shows the respect that you have for principals. They were doing that, like when he was talking, they were listening and what they were doing and everything like that. So it was a great day, and it worked out quite well.
Brilliant. You've brought some spectacular photos in with you, and we're also going to be there up on our Facebook page, but we're going to be looking at your photos at home very shortly, and we're going to be looking at Dominic Walsh's archive photo. He's brought a good one, and there's a great story behind that too. But we're going to take a break. We'll have more after these.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Sean Lynch and John O'Rahilly, Hogan's Funeral Home, Tralee. You're listening to the Saturday Supplement with Joe McGill on Radio Kerry.
Morning all in Radio Kerry. Had our darkness into light walk at the other rock across the county bounds. Fine turnout, and everyone treated to teas, coffees, lovely snacks at the community centre in Davidoff. Like, an event like that is just wonderful, you know, when the community kind of comes together and you go to the community centre after, you know, there's good old banter. It's, very kind of something warming about that kind of a gathering. Wishing Shauna and Mary Barry Waterville a lovely day for Holy Communion from Doreen Phillips, Stephen, Katie, Natalie and Chloe Turner. And look, I'll just say now, wish you all a great Holy Communion, because Francis will take all those requests. So myself and Dominic won't get through this at all if we start going into communions. Listener says, back in the 50s on the 1st of May, their mother would put out sycamore tree leaves, also known as maple tree leaves, still does it. till this day, and that's in relation to bringing in the May. Morning, Joe. Your guest Dominic is the most professional man you could have for photography. This guy knows his stuff. Have been in his company a few times. All the best, Bernard Pop Lynch. No, Dominic, you won't fit out the door. You won't be able to get to the studio at all after that. You'd be stuck. You'd be stuck inside the studio. Your head won't go out the door.
I think it was worth paying him for that, wasn't it?
It was, Pop. Huh?
Thank you, Pop.
Yeah. Now, we will get to your photos that you sent in to us at home. And a reminder, it's midday, Wednesday. There was a few late ones, Dominic, this time.
There was,
I think the bank holiday kind of threw them off.
Yeah.
We'll get into them. Here we go. And we always get great photos from Moss Joe Brown. I keep saying that this man should like release a photo book or something because it's daily life in Kerry. And Moss was giving us some great landscape photos as well, we have to say. But he's gone back now into the kind of daily life ones as well. So we like when he mixes it up. This is a fine motorbike in this photo. The expression of joy and excitement, because that was our theme, Dominic. Excitement, remember, it was around Easter time.
That's correct.
On the face of Michael Fleming after he had made a purchase of a vintage motorbike from trader Dominic O'Connor at the Tralee Car Boot Sale, and that comes in from Moss Joe Brown. There's a bit of work to do on that bike, I'd say, to bring it up to...
There is a bit of work that I'd say is probably, is it
a project is how you describe that.
So when this photo came in and we were looking at this picture during the week, Joe, I didn't even have to look. I knew it was Moss's straight away.
Yeah.
I know his style.
Yeah.
His style like that,
yeah.
And it's great. And as you can see, his pictures now, they're nicely cropped. They're shaped and the horizon lines are good in it. Moss, great job. Lovely picture. And again, I love Moss's style. They're not looking at the camera. They're just, you know, doing their own thing. Great picture.
He's not intruding, kind of, just, yeah, it's good. Good morning, Joe and Dominic. Excitement all round. I walked to the sea this morning, thanking God for another day. Suddenly I noticed a sheep and a lamb welcoming the new day. This is like a poem. And breathing in the salt sea air. They seem to be playing hide and seek in the rushes. Life is for living. Thank you both. Second pick is Silence is Golden at Thave Killa. And third pick is Excitement for Summer. Just one more to steal the arrival of the swallows. And that comes in from Agnes O'Sullivan, who always paints a beautiful picture with her words as well. We have the sheep, we have that beautiful sunset or dawn, sunset I presume, and the final photo then again is that same sun image through a wonderful kind of gathering of plants as well.
And they're great pictures, and these are pictures like that, again, that could go on a wall. There's a nice shape, they're upright pictures like that, like you've got the sheep and the lamb, and I've seen the lambs during the week. By God, can they jump?
Yeah.
So like they're like springs around like they jump. Like I was known.
Spring lamb,
that's what it is. And jump, they were jumping up, the sheep was lying down and they were running back and forth. It's just I didn't get the camera out in time. They were actually jumping over the sheep and they were like as if they were queuing up.
Yeah. But they have some crack newly born lambs, like they'd play chase and everything if you watch them. It's really unbelievable.
They were running along. Because the sheep was lying down and there was a row of four or five lambs and they were running across and they were jumping and jumping and jumping and going around and did it the second time.
Grand National.
And of course when I got out to Cameron they stopped. But it's a great picture. I like them. And I love the fact that you can see the plants through the sunset. Yeah. It kind of adds a different perspective. You kind of have to look at it to see it. Lovely set of pictures.
That reminds me of a Kit Kat ad years ago where there was a photographer and he's in Dublin Zoo or somewhere.
Oh, that's
the zoo.
Right, yes.
The bears are doing nothing. And then when he turns around to have his Kit Kat, the bears jump up and they're doing all these different acrobatics in the background.
For sure, didn't happen to you with the sheep. Whenever
Hello, Joe. Two photos from Nora O'Carroll for this month's In Focus slot, please. Red cow, Susie, having fun, itching off a bit of a tree. And Whitey, the cat, watching the first swallows this year flying over her. And that comes in from JP O'Carroll in Causeway. And Whitey is a bit of a poser. And we have other photos as well sent in from JP O'Carroll, from Des O'Carroll as well. And they're of the cat as well, which are beautiful photos. And a nice close-up of the cat. I was saying to you off air, cats are kind of good subjects for photos, aren't they? They kind of pose.
Yeah, but they're quite inquisitive. And they watch what you're doing. And, you know, like, they'll watch and they'll get in. The head will go to the side. You get in nice and close. They're nice pictures. But, you know, animals like that, if they're any bit, let's say, compliant at all, you'll always get good shots. They're great.
Yeah, the red red and white cow is a stunning-looking colour, isn't it? Like, that's like the Frisian cow, except where the black is, it's like orange.
They're magnificent colours. I was out in Venture doing a job last week, and there was a farmer there, and he had dairy cows. And the dairy cow was coming down and they would come up to him and he was rubbing their heads and rubbing their chins and they'd go away. Then the next cow would come up, he'd rub the head and rub the chin and that would go away. And that's what the cows were doing the way down. He said they were very affectionate animals altogether.
Yeah. Do you ever get a lick from a cow?
I did. It's horrible.
The most coarse tongue.
She's like sandpaper. I know what it is. It's horrible. That's when you get too close to take pictures and you're there.
You need to get asked that this morning.
Oh, it's horrible.
Easter colours. This comes in from James Nealon in Causeway, County Kerry. And just by the way, thanks, Carls, all the Carls for sending those great photos. James Nealon, Causeway, County Kerry. I love these photos. They're like close-ups of... What's this now? We had this conversation before, the ladybird or the ladybug.
Ladybird.
It's a ladybird, isn't
ladybird,
it?
Ladybird, yes.
A ladybug. What were the books?
Pardon?
What were the books? Ladybird books, is it?
Yes, Ladybird books, that's right, yes.
And this is like a gold forest plant, is it, up close? I think it is, yeah.
These are the golden colours, fabulous pictures. The lighting is perfect. Even the ladybird had positioned itself in a perfect position for a side-on view. You can see the colours. The real orangey red coat and its wings and the black head and the black spots and the yellow flowers, like that picture needs to be stored and put away. It's a very important and a very valuable picture if you want to do it and put up a wall. Even to frame that and give it as a gift to somebody is absolutely fantastic.
Brilliant. Well, we've lots more photos to get to, and you can send them this month to jmcgill@radiokerry.ie before midday, the Wednesday before the first Saturday of the month. Dominic Wallace is going to stay with us. We'll take a break. We'll be looking at more of your photos after these.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Sean Lynch and John O'Rahilly, Hogan's Funeral Home, Tralee.
That's what you're listening to, and I hope you're enjoying the programme. 0667123666. Martina's take your calls. You can text the WhatsApp 083 300 300. We're looking at your photos. Dominic Waltz is with us for our monthly In Focus slot. Hi, Joe and Dominic. Love the show. This is my photo for this week. Max getting very excited before going for a walk. Thank you, Nora Nelligan. Nora always sends us very good photos, and catching a dog in midair is not an easy feat either, is it?
No, it's not an easy feat at all. I mean, dogs are excited that they'd be bouncing on like grasshoppers down the road. And you can see the excitement. He's jumping up and down and he's looking out to the cage or whatever that he's inside. He's kennel looking out and people going, it's a nice picture and that, you know, and that. A bit closer might work a bit because there's a lot of space around which kind of confuses the situation, you know.
Yeah.
But it works.
Very good. We have a photo in here, but I don't have the name, so I'm going to have to be looking at that now while I leave you comment on it, Dominic. But it's, hi, Joe and Dominic. My excellent, see the way they did that, theme photos are of my hens out exploring around the daffodils during the spring. This is a very expertly taken photo, because sometimes you have a photo in the where the subject's in the foreground and it's like in focus and the back is blurred, but this is the other way around, isn't it?
Well, like it just goes like, and in the rules of photography, your lens should always be at eye level when you're taking pictures. And actually, the photographer who has taken this picture has put the lens in eye level with the chickens looking. Well, the one chicken is looking into it on that, and looking past the daffodils off into it like that. And it just makes a picture, because for the simple fact, like, you know, one chicken's looking and the other just doesn't care, and the other just, the hen is eating away and doing his own thing like that, but the daffodils are there, so it's nice. And the thing is, there's that big colour for it, and of course it's an exciting picture too, isn't it?
Yeah, it's, you Brendan know? Cassan Brendan and Cassan. Brendan he's an unbelievable photographer, isn't he? We always get great photos from him, so I was thinking it's very kind of professional looking. It's excellent. See what I did there. Right, and a few more photos in. Hi, John Dominic. Attached three recently taken images of favourite Kerry spots. First shows reflections of Bernerville Windmill at nightfall, also Ross Castle on a crisp April morning, and finally Dunquin Pier with Blaskets in the background on a fresh spring day. Just a small sample of the many wonderful locations we have in Kerry. We're truly blessed to live in such a beautiful county. So say all of us, and that comes in from Michael Kennedy, Waterside Inch. These are very professional photos.
These are great pictures, and they're great pictures because, and I'm a great lover of going to places where you can set up your equipment, it's safe, and you can watch what's going on, and it's there in front of you, and the light changes and it just sets up and the composition comes up. Like the windmill is a great spot. Like I go out there regularly, and like on any given evening you could have four or five, even more people on the bridge taking pictures of the windmill like that, you know. It's a great picture and it just works as a nice picture. And the castle picture is there, is lovely as well. There's really kind of autumny colours, very soft colours. They're not very harsh colours and it just works on that. The only thing I'd find, I probably would have gone a little bit closer to the castle.
Okay.
Because I just think the castle...
You're really nitpicky now though, aren't you?
I am. Yeah. Very, really nitpicky. Yeah. I just bring in that little bit there, because I... If you go to these turrets, there's a turret bottom, the middle and the top like that, but it's a lovely picture. And I like the fact that there seems to be no manipulation done to any of these pictures. What you see is what you get.
Yeah.
And I like that in photography, and that's what photography is about, you know.
Yeah, I think these are outstanding. Like, I was looking at the windmill there, you can nearly take out a ruler as well, how perfectly done it is, you know.
Like, it's great. Yeah. Like, the lines are there,
yeah.
and the reflection in the water is just so absolutely clear. Amazing. Like, you can see it often, the colours are there.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, it just goes to show, Dominic, remember we had President Biden listening to us there during April 1st, and we have people listening to us all over the world, but this is a great email I got in. Hello, Joe, I am John Kinsman, Operations Manager, Coast Watch at St. Monans, or it could be Monans, but I think it's Monans, in Fife, Scotland. And we are regular listeners to Radio Kerry when on lookout duty. We are a non-paid volunteer search and rescue team, a team of 9 volunteers. I've attached a photo we took while on an evening search. It's of an oil rig which seems is standing in the clouds. Thought your photo guest might comment on this for us. Thank you, John Kinsman, Operations Manager, Coast Watch, St. Monans. And he's the station manager there. And this is some photo. And John, we can appreciate the work ye do, because we have a lot of great voluntary people, Coast Guard operators here in this neck of the woods as well, and people that work in the Coast Guard in Valentia Island as well, on the in the radio station there, and also our mountain rescue teams as well. So we can appreciate the work you do over there, and it's great to hear that you're tuning in from Scotland. This photo, Dominic, we had to look at a few times because we thought it was not real for a moment.
Well, when I looked at it first, I kind of, you know, I said, no, it's not real. But when I looked at it, and we're talking, you have to take people at their word, because this is what it is. And like that, and the cloud is down.
Yeah.
And just for the listeners, is what you're looking at an image. You can see them like as if you're back, let's say, in Kerry Head, and you're looking down out over, you can see the bit of grass, maybe, and a bit of rock, and then the sea comes in, and you're looking out through the sea. When you get to the landscape, then there's a cloud rim coming across, and just coming out of the top of that rim is the top of the oil rig, which is sticking out into the air on that. I thought first it was something like Star Wars May Day first when it came in. I was
May the 4th.
I said, this is something new Star Wars now coming, like, because it's like one of these things, you know. But it's an excellent photograph. And the thing is, I have to compliment our voluntary rescue service as well, because I was lifeguarding for years on beaches, and we were in Ballybunnan there, and we used to have the Ballybunnan Sea Rescue guys come to help us with a lot of things. And you don't realise how invaluable they are till you actually need them.
Yeah.
And people don't realise they're there till they actually need them. They're always in the background, and they're always there, and they're great organisations. And, you know, like, I don't think we appreciate them half enough or give them enough thanks for what they
do. Yeah, same with fire brigades and things like that. Yeah, you know, so when you need them, yeah. Hi, Joe. This is just a different photo I'm just after getting this morning, because we were talking about darkness to light. Joan Trant. Hi, Joe. Darkness into light walk this morning in Corraheen Lore. A beautiful walk with tea and coffee served in the open air afterwards. Could not get nicer with the birds singing. And thanks a million for that, Joan. Wonderful photo there as well. Now, Dominic, we're going to go for first our humour photo of the month. So we have a humour photo, and we have our photo of the month. So humour photo of the month, please. Dun, 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 dun.
Oh, it has to be the chicken and the daffodils. I just like it. The chicken looking in like that. That's Nora Milligan, I think, is it?
Yeah. No, the hen is Brendan Cassan.
Well, Brendan Cassan, I apologise. Yeah. Brendan Cassan there on that. And I just liked it because it's a picture that brings a bit of a smile to your face, because you're looking at it, and the chicken's looking in, the flowers are there. So,
and
it's
excitement as well. Yes. Subtle. Yeah, it's good. Yeah. I like it.
That's it. That's great. And the
photo of the month
has to go to the windmill.
Yeah, it's spectacular.
I like the windmill. I like the lighting in it, and I like it. And I like the fact that it's a promotion of what we have on our step, where people can go and take pictures from a safe location and get something, and just stand there with a tripod or even with a phone or anything like that. And the images, if you stay there for half an hour, 3/4 an hour, the image you've taken on the first, like my darkness into light this morning, the first image was dark, and the last image I took had blue skies behind it. So the light changes, the sunset changes like that. Even sunrise, if you're going for sunrise there and you get very low shadows like that, of long shadows because you have low light, it just works. It's a great place like that, John. And that was Michael Kennedy.
In Inch. Well done, Michael, and always a great man to send in a photo, but spectacular photos this morning. Well done. You'll be putting those up on the wall, and you can always say, that was my photo of the month that time in May on Dominic Walsh's In Focus slot. It can be a real talking point. So put that up there. Also, There's a few messages I want to get to as well. Hi, will you wish Keen O'Sullivan Clonkeen a lovely day on his communion? Have a fantastic day. Love Uncle Brendan, Ginny, Corina, Sive and Rowan. And hi, Joe. I always bring in the May and also bless the animals, outhouses and yard. I believe I didn't make the tradition, so I won't break it. That's another one as well. And of course, I suppose that's to do with the harvest coming and all that as well, that side of things. Dominic, what is our theme for next month?
Our theme for next month, Joe, is because like the weather's changing and there's sun out there and it's bright, you can see the greens coming up like that, Joe. I think we should have like You Are My Sunshine.
You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. Yeah, love it.
I'd stick to the radio, Joe. I really would.
How dare you?
I can't. I haven't got a note in my head in this one.
Obviously, because you're not a good judge of singers. So You Are My Sunshine. So that could be a person. It could be like a setting, a scene.
Setting, a scene.
Whatever makes you happy. You Are My Sunshine.
You Are My Sunshine, like that. And think about this. When you take a picture, as I always say to people, think outside the box. Get the picture you want. That's it, your pitch like that. And don't walk away then from that subject or that shot you're taking. Wait even a minute or two and look at it, and you're bound to come up with a different idea. Whether it's taken from a different angle, down low, down high, behind a tree, real house, or something like that, or if there's somebody there, like get them even to jump in the air, make star shapes. Just get to think about what you're doing. Like we give people, let's say, a guide, You Are My Sunshine. And that's just the main reason why we give these titles, these themes, it helps you think. And if you think, then you're going to come up with an idea. And bounce your ideas off somebody else. If you're with somebody, say, look, I'm looking to go on the radio show next month, then I'm thinking of putting in a picture, this is my idea, and bounce that idea off somebody else. It's a great conversational piece as well, if you want to get talking to somebody like that, and walk away.
You Are My Sunshine. That is your theme for next month. You can send them now to jmcgill@radiokerry.ie, jmcgill@radiokerry.ie, before midday, the Wednesday before the first Saturday of the month. And it's a bit of a tongue twister, but I think you get what I mean in that. Dominic, you were in, I don't know where were you in Spain one week, another week then I got a photo from you and you were in a ski resort. And this, I think, for me shows the difference. And, you know, we're very alike in some ways and very far apart in other ways. When we got that photo in that time, and I was saying that's a holder for wellies when you come in from the farm, and you thought it was a holder for your ski boots. Just the haves and the have-nots. So you were skiing lately, were you?
I was.
Where were you?
We went off to Les Arcs in France.
France, nice.
I tend to try and do it every second year if I can go away.
And COVID kind of stopped that for you, didn't it?
Yeah, stopped it a while, yeah, on that. And I came back with no injuries this year, which was great.
Jeez, that's a positive.
Yeah, but we had fantastic snow, because what happens, they got the snow so late this year.
Oh yeah, like we were up, that's climate change and all that.
Climate change and like that. You know, people tend to go late in the year, like, and it's good. It's a good holiday. It's an energetic holiday. It's a holiday I like. I'm on the go. I'm around and, you know, doing things like that. And there's great company. We had Owen O'Mahony and his family there. We went off and we had a great holiday.
And when you're on holiday like that, do you take a lot of photos, or are you off from photos, or is that like your pastime as well? If you know what I mean.
I tend to bring a camera with me, not a big camera, a small camera in my pocket. I would bring that with me. But I tend not to take a whole... If I'm away, it was different. When I was in Tenerife there a couple of weeks ago, I was brought over by a company. Mm. And
that was a work holiday.
That was a work holiday. So I was involved in workshops and I was using their equipment and things. That was different. But when I went away this time now, just skiing up and down. I love it. Just getting out like that. And I use the phone a lot. And I've just a small little camera. It's a pocket camera I use a lot. And Joe, I think I came in one time during the show, a picture I took in Fina with it. And that it's just something simple. And I advise people when they're going on holidays, don't bring something too big or too awkward. It's called a pocket camera for a reason. It fits into your pocket and you can take it out and take a picture. It's light. Because if you're walking all day and you've got something heavy in your pocket or hanging around your shoulder, it can be quite difficult.
Yeah, I wonder pocket cameras, like, they're still a thing, are they? Like when you have your phone,
They are, yeah. They are. Because the phones are good.
Wide, yeah. Go on.
Well, for several reasons, is like pocket cameras, you can use them like a main camera, you can use them automatic, manual, semi-automatic, you have a little bit of a zoom lens on them, you know, and you have a card inside them. And the thing about it is, when I put stuff on my phone, it goes in the phone, never go back to it. It's there, it's back along, you know. Whereas when I've got stuff on a camera like that, I take the camera home, put the camera into the computer and look down through it and pick out the photos I like and print off whatever I want then.
Yeah. Are you handy on the skis?
Fairly okay.
Fairly okay.
I'd be fairly okay. Yeah, I wouldn't be as good a singer now as you, but yeah. I'd be fairly okay.
Yeah. You probably blend in with the snow too, do you?
Oh, the hair, yeah. Oh, you're back to the hair. Listen, she's on about my hair then, like, you know.
We'll go to break, and Dominic has brought in his wonderful archive photo, and it's a classic, so I'm looking forward to talking about that.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Sean Lynch and John O'Rahilly, Hogan's Funeral Home, Tralee.
That's what you're listening to, and I hope you're enjoying the programme so far. 066 712 3666. You can text the WhatsApp 083 300 3300, and keep those texts and calls coming in. And now we're going back into Dominic Walsh's archive. I love doing this part of the programme. The men from the past sit for a cuppa as they talk about football at the Recovery Haven Cancer Support Centre. Pictured, Ogie Moran, Jor Power, Mikey Sheehy, Owen Bomber listening, and Sean Walsh. And Weeshie Fogarty, a radio presenter, held his radio show from the Recovery Haven House in Tralee. His programme went out live on the night. Recovery Haven is in it, and this is what it was then, an exciting new facility for the benefit of those Kerry citizens who have been through the life-shattering experience of cancer. And our own Weeshie Fogarty kind of helped you with this photo, didn't he?
Well, actually, it was Weeshie that orchestrated it. Weeshie rang me up and said, Dominic, and the thing about Weeshie, God rest me, what a gentleman he was. He had a great foresight. He always loved pictures and loved photography. And he said, Dom, he says, I have a great event coming up. He says, I think you'd love to come over and have a view on it and sit down and listen in.
Isn't that so thoughtful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you know when you're trying to organise your programme or whatever and you're trying to do that, but to think of
somebody else?
Hold on, yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Weeshie was always like that. Like I was saying, I've said this to a few people. I commentated on a South Kerry final below in Port Magee, and Weeshie said was my co-coms. And imagine that, Weeshie Fogarty, your co-coms here. And I hadn't done a lot of them, and I was asking my way, and he goes, look, you do your own thing, do it the way you want to do it, and I'll come in. And he was so generous, not taking over or anything, and he's always been like that, always was like that with me as well, even when I was in West Limerick 102 on radio or whatever. He'd always be talking to me, he brought me on his programming conversation, and we did several things over that before I ever started in Radio Kerry. And I always found him the most generous in that way.
But he had me in conversation as well one night. I was talking to him as well. And the thing about it, he had this foresight of capturing a story. And when you capture a story, it was great to have an image with it. So he said to me, Dominic, look, he says, I'm doing the show live. He says, this place is after opening up. He said, and it's a great centre. He says, and it's great for the county. He says, you know, and that's going to help cancer survivors join their families, the council, and a place to go and a homely place. So he says, I'm having these guys over. And he said, Ogie Moran, Jor Power, Mikey, Owen Bomber, and Sean Wilk, they're over. So he said, come over at a certain time. So I don't know what time it was. For example, come over at 7 o'clock. Of course, I was over at 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
You know, and Weeshie says to me, I knew you'd be over here early. I knew it. He says, I knew it. I says, why? He says, you know, I knew it you'd be. He says, you want to get your picture? I says, yeah. I said, the boys here, there's one of them there. Then two of them, then three of them. Then people had so much of an interest in them. They were around and they were moving to here and moving to there. And I was saying to Weeshie, I'll never get the picture, I said. And Weeshie says to me, look, Dominic, we'll get you something. So I was talking to Weeshie, and Weeshie said, don't we do? He says, we'll get them to have a cup of tea. I said, right. He said, look, we'll get them to have a cup of tea and pull out a couple of sandwiches like that. And this was now in the background. So they were organising, and the boys were there then. And of course, when they had a cup then, and they started talking. And then, the five of them then ended up in the room. And what you've got is, just to explain, these gentlemen, when I was a young fella in school, these were the David Cliffords. These were the Pellies. There was nobody else that could walk into school when these guys walked in. Everybody was in awe at them like that.
They were the golden years team.
Years team. They were absolutely fantastic. And to get the five of these gentlemen seated and take a picture, but the one thing I did on the night, I didn't use flash. I used available light on that. So they didn't have to worry about flash. And I just captured what was going on. And they were just chatting and they're laughing and joking and bantering around and they're having their chats and things like that, you know. And it made a picture. And he says to me, Dom, he says, how are you getting on? I says, not too bad at all. I said, do you want to see what I've got? Because he always loved looking at what I captured on that. And he was looking at the picture. He says, Dominic, he says, in years to come now, he says, you'll all be talking about this picture, he says. You know, we'll all be gone, Dominic, he says. They'll all be gone, he says. And this is the picture that will suffice. And it's true, because a picture does paint a thousand words, and a picture does freeze time.
Yeah.
And this is what it does. And actually, and I've even got the settings out of the camera. It was taken at an 1/80 of a second, and lens 24-70, and the ISO was 640, f-stop 3.5, no flash, and focus lock. I think from when I took that picture to today, I'm still actually using the same method in my photography.
Really?
I'm still using the same, muffy around the same settings. They don't change from what I'm learning. And as I tell people, I shoot manual all the time. And I always say, I want to control the light. I don't want the light to control me.
Very good.
So that's very important in the photography. They're laughing, they're joking, they're looking around, they're not looking at the camera, they're looking at each other, they're looking ahead, and they've got their cups in their hands.
Yeah, they're all doing their own thing, and it seems to me like they're reacting to something that Sean Walsh said, and they're kind of laughing away at it. And you can see Mikey Sheehy's ready with a bit of a riposte there as well, and Ogie's ready to give a bit of a joke back as well.
Yeah.
And they're all laughing. The only kind of guy kind of looking at the camera is your power, really.
Yeah.
That's what makes it absolutely brilliant. And that picture in the background is very kind of telling too, the sunlight through the trees as well. It's a nice kind of contrast.
Lovely
something
contrast.
Called,
yeah. Like there's light and there's lovely. It's like Recovery Haven is the most welcoming building you can go into. It's a house. It's not a building. It's a house. It's a home you're going into. There's lovely rooms inside. There's lovely places to sit down inside there. And there's these lovely pictures and paintings on the walls. Like they're kind of calming, really. They're quite nice in there. And I think actually this is inside in, a porter cabin, I think, is where we brought them in for the cup of tea, you know, on that.
Yeah.
But then, like, when these guys are talking, as I say, and when they get talking like that, and, you know, and the banter, the amount of people that were sticking their heads in to look and around and talk and ask them questions, you know?
Yeah, it's guess. Great photo, Dominic. Great job. Well done. It's always great to go back into your archive, and a wonderful tribute to Ishii as well, and just shows, again, how he continues to touch people's lives long after he's gone as well, and the generosity of spirit of the man as well.
Yeah,
and good crack too.
Yeah, it was Ishii and Liam that time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Liam Higgins. Liam Higgins, the two boys they can be off. And I was putting Austin.
They were an iconic commentary pair,
they
weren't
were absolutely
they?
Brilliant.
Yeah.
We used to be up to listen to the games and to be on like that, you know, from an almost impossible angle. Like, they were brilliant.
They'd paint the picture, yeah. Yeah, so wonderful photo. Thanks, Dominic, for bringing that in. Our theme for next month, once more.
Our theme for us is You Are My Sunshine.
You are my sunshine. And Dominic is about to go away now on a very busy day. So he's off to capture all those wonderful moments. And Dominic, we only have 30 seconds, but that's a privileged position to be in, because you remember your Holy Communion forever.
Oh, you do, yes.
And you're capturing that moment.
And I remember it. And when I bring in stews, like, I try and talk. It's very important, just one bit of advice. If you're going to a studio, you're going to a professional photographer, you're getting your pictures taken, have a chat with the photographer beforehand. Ask the photographer what he's going to do, and what you need to do is tell the photographer what you're hoping to get. And please, please, please alert the photographer if a child has any needs or any issues, anxieties, whether it be autism, Down syndrome or whatever, and let the photographer know that beforehand in time, so then the photographer understands if there's any issues or anything like that throughout the day. That's very important.
Yeah, and enjoy the day. Don't get too carried away with it too. Don't forget the whole material side of it. Just enjoy the day.
All about fun.
Exactly. Dominic, thanks a million. And our theme for next month is You Are My Sunshine. Email them to jmcgill@radiokerry.ie. After the 10 o'clock news, we have our new series, A Bloss of Kerry, and we'll be focusing on Michael and Sandra O'Dowd of Ring of Kerry Apple Farm, and that is outside Castlemaine. We'll take a break for the news, and I'll join you again in the next hour.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Sean Lynch and John O'Rahilly, Hogan's Funeral Home, Tralee. The Saturday Supplement with Joe McGill on Radio Kerry.
That's what you listen to, and if you've just joined us, you're welcome along to the second hour, and I hope I find you well. And we got a wonderful message in here, and I have to mention this famous man. Morning, Joe. Could you wish Johnny Egan a happy 99th birthday, who will celebrate with family tomorrow? Born on the 3rd of May 1924, has lived in Ardfert all the time from his Morris Connell's Memorial Vintage Friends. And if you remember, I interviewed the legendary Johnny a while ago, and we played that just not too long ago, around the time of that wonderful Morris Collins Memorial Vintage thing. So 99 years of age. Hello, Johnny, and I hope you're doing well. And I still hold a fond memory of visiting you and having a great chat with you and seeing your wonderful photos from as far back as the 40s. And great man for the machinery, and so knowledgeable about it, and sharp as ever. And looks like he could do a hard day's work tomorrow for you. So congratulations, and enjoy the weekend. Listener says himself and all his neighbours from Corraheen Lawn on the Dingle Road do the darkness into light walk together for the last 6 years. That's great to hear as well. Well done to all of you who were involved in darkness into light. Now, A Blast of Kerry is a new series we're going to be playing for you over the next while on the Saturday Supplement. It's a unique 8-part series where we provide an insight into the amazing variety of family food businesses presented in Kerry. Some of the most ancient of these trades goes back centuries, and in many of the family businesses we will profile are handed down from generation to generation. The series produced by Murray Nivuhuna and presented by myself aims to reveal the magnificent story and history associated with traditional family food businesses in Kerry. In this, our first episode, we hear from Michael and Sandra O'Dowd of Ring of Kerry Apple Farm outside Castlemaine.
This radio series is a Máire Nivuhuna production, funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with a television licence fee.
This is Blast of Kerry, a unique 8-part series where we provide an insight into the amazing variety of family food businesses represented in Kerry. Some of the most ancient of these trades goes back centuries, and in many of the family businesses we will profile are handed down from generation to generation. Our series aims to reveal the magnificent story and history associated with traditional family food businesses in Kerry. In this episode, we hear from Michael and Sandra O'Dowd of Ring of Kerry Apple Farm. Michael and Sandra and their family never tire of apples, and it's just as well. From their orchard of over 1,000 apple trees in Ballycrispin and Castlemaine, they produce apples for eating and juicing. The family's hives of bees pollinate the apple trees. Their Ring of Kerry apple juice is an award-winning, naturally sweet, 100% pure apple juice.
Michael O'Dowd, Ring of Kerry Apple Farm. We're in Castlemaine, which is mid-Kerry, dead centre of Kerry, which is suitable for us access to all the county. We're close to Dingle, Listowel and all of them. So we're close to being central to the county, makes it a bit easier. I suppose the main reason we set up was that it was an orchard years back before, and there was an old monastery here one time, and there was an old stone that was used to make cider one time. There was a cider press, and yeah, we just decided we chanced a bit of it, but we chanced maybe went a bit bigger than we expected. We set 2,000 trees, which is nearly 2 acres at high density, and we said mainly eating apples, and then we set a third of them or a quarter of them we set brambles, and but the brambles we've moved away a bit from the brambles because, you know, people aren't baking anymore and things, and we're making apple juice in Ring of Kerry apple juice, and we sell the apples to the supermarkets and things.
That's cooking apples, is it, the Bramley, is that what
there was a lot of grading in them, and they only wanted a very, very big apple, and we had 3/4 of them that were small, and yeah, we've most of them taken out. We have a few of them all the time, but it's just the Bramley apple. We were thinking about making apple juice, but it's a bit bitter. It's only for making apple tarts and things, and people aren't making apple tarts anymore, so we pulled them out, most of them. So we have about 800 trees altogether now. We've cut down about 200.
What year was that? Did you set up?
10.
Okay, and I suppose a lot of farmers are diversifying now. Was there a need kind of to get another kind of income into the farm kind of a thing? Is that where the idea comes from then?
Yes, because I suppose the apples comes in when the cows are nearly dry. We milk 40 cows here, and the income was small at that time of the year. So the crop was coming in October, November, December, and we'd get into January, February, and we'd get a bit of March. So that we wouldn't have no milk, so it would basically keep us going for the winter with a turnover.
So what does it take to grow an apple?
That's a good question. A lot of patience. down here where we are, we suffer with lots of humidity. We've a fierce problem with canker and things in the trees, and you've be always nearly every time we go to the orchard, you have to carry the pruners with you. You would nearly always to be pruning bits, because in terms like it's like a cancer. It starts with a bit of a rot, and if you don't catch it in time, it'll spread on and it'll go back into the stump of the tree and down into the roots, and you lose the tree.
And is it a seed, or what way does it work? Do you get saplings? How do they grow, or is it trees that have been here for years?
No, we bought them. They're on an M9 rootstock, so they're mainly small apple trees, but they're still you still have to prune them. People think they stay small, but they don't. Trees are always made to grow timber, and the main thing is trying to stop them grow timber and grow apples, because if they have their way, they'll grow way out into the air, and you'll have no apples and all timber.
How long does it take for a tree to grow that it can provide fruit?
In these apple trees, 3 years. Yeah, and in 6 years they're in full production.
And how long can you keep them then? Do they last forever? Or?
Well, they say that they can last up to 40 years. That'll finish me anyway, so I won't be worried about them after that. But I don't think the old day will survive that long, because our help is leaving. When we started, the family were younger, but now one of us finished and have a job, and the second one is coming out this year, and the third one is in college, and the fourth one is, well, he's farming, my son, and then I've a girl that she's at school. And so they're all really, they've grown up now. They were better when they were younger.
Did you grow up on this farm?
Yeah, I'm the fifth generation here. Yeah.
Five generations of farmers?
Yes.
Always dairying?
No, they started fishing was the main thing for them. And then they dredged the New River Main, and they kind of went more into farming. I'd say farming was more of a hobby by that time. They had a few cows all right for the winter, but fishing was their main source of income that time.
When it comes to family businesses, often there is pressure on the next generation to continue the story. So was this the case with Michael when he came to the farm?
No, it was something I always wanted to do. I never liked school, and unfortunately, I'd say if I got the time back again, I might change it. But no, I always loved farming. I loved, as I thought, my own boss, but I found out it was the hardest boss of all, being your own boss.
Your children, is there pressure for them to carry on this business, or is there not?
Well, my second girl have done ag science, so she's big into agriculture. The old girl was into it as well, but she's gone teaching. She's teaching Killarney, the sim. And then my boy, the son, is he's farming. He's actually out in placement at the moment. And then my Michelle, which is the third girl, Garrison, the fourth, is fourth. She's doing biomedical engineering in Limerick. So really, I'd say she's only the one that's looking at the farm, and that's Garrett, the fourth fella.
Right, we're here now at the orchard. We'll go in, will we?
Yeah.
When you enter the orchard, you're met with rows and rows of trees. If you didn't know any better, you'd think you were at a vineyard in the south of France. It's a beautiful looking place, and is enhanced further by the wonderful sounds of nature and the birds.
We have over two acres. And we have about, there's 800 trees there now.
They're all the same variety?
No, we've different varieties. We've Red Ale Stars, and we have John O'Goals, John O'Goreds. And and then we have Sevals, a few of them. And we have John O'Princes. We have kind of four varieties, I suppose. Wouldn't have that many of the John O'Princes. We had a lot of Sevals. We had to change that variety. It didn't suit our area at all. Fierce problem with canker in it. We had to cut them out because they were nearly gone, and it was going back through the apple tree so bad. These trees, they're a high productive tree. They're not native, I suppose, trees. The Red Ale Star would be similar to the old apple, like the Beauty Bat them one time. But these trees, they take a lot of care. They're like a hybrid cow. You have to really see after them.
What is canker for people that don't know?
Canker is kind of like a rot, and it rots the branch. You'll see it in one patch, and it kind of rots around it, and then it kind of spreads from there. It'll spread back along, and like I said, it'll go into the stump, and then it'll go down into the root. The tree is dead, and once it goes around the back of the tree, it's finished. Yeah.
What is the timeline over the year? What way do they grow and when do you harvest and that kind of thing? Because we're here now, it's in the February, coming into March, there's no leaves or no fruit on the trees. So what's the kind of life cycle through the year?
Well, we just have to kind of finish and pruning them. We now have to prune them twice. We have to prune them again in August when the crop is on them. But then we'd have to do a bit of spraying for scab, which is similar to blight in potatoes. And then we harvest time, tis down late enough harvest, October, November, the harvest. And maybe late September, depends on the year, depends on the spring. If we get a good early spring, you'll harvest them. Maybe 2 weeks earlier, but they can go right out until the end of October or into November to have, before the last time harvest.
How long does the apple last then?
Well, we have cold rooms, so the different varieties. The Elstar last till Christmas, and then the Jolly Golds and them there would last until maybe mid-March, like, but that'd be the outside of them, and they'd be the first ones we'd pick, last the longest.
Anytime I interview someone of a certain generation, they always talk about when they were younger robbing orchards. Do you have any like pests that come in here and you know, like birds or anything like that that attack the apples?
Oh, the crows and magpies and things. Magpies are actually the hardest, because you know, you'll get the crow with a gun, but the magpie, he's very clever. He'll only dip up and down around the tree. It's very hard to get him. He'll sit on the branch. You won't even find him inside in the tree. But you'll see it after in the apple, like, and any peak in the apple, they're no good.
I see here you've a few hives as well. Are you into the honey as well, or why are they there?
Well, just like the film Field of Dreams, was when we set the trees, the bees came. We see swarms around the orchard and things, and I knew about the pollination, that we need enough for pollination, so we housed them, and we are getting a bit of honey off them, all right. That we've a good share of hives now, but we're happy with them.
They're so important, aren't they?
Yeah, very important, very important. And one thing I suppose people don't realise is that these people that thinks that they're going into these lawnmowers, the electric lawnmowers and all that, they're not actually the best for the bees, because at least if someone with a lawn, if they forgets to cut it, they'll leave something on it. But when you have these solar powered lawnmowers, there's nothing. It's bare. There's nothing for the bees. The main reason I'd say, well, I suppose they come here, is they know it's an early source of food. They'll be getting, the minute these start flowering in mid-March to April, they know that they're in for food. Well, they won't get it. It's scarce at that time of the year. So the bees and all, they're not no fools.
Yeah, and it's funny, one of them just came up to our microphone there as we were talking, as if to say hello.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you in association with Sean Lynch and John O'Rahilly, Hogan's Funeral Home, Tralee. You're listening to an episode of Bloss of Kerry, where we provide an insight into the amazing variety of family food businesses represented in Kerry. In this episode, we hear from Michael and Sandra O'Dowd of Ring of Kerry Apple Farm. It is a family business documentary we're talking about here, and I'd imagine the family do come in handy around harvesting them, because I would imagine the machinery, it's kind of hands you have to pick, is it?
Yeah, some people think that you can catch the tree and give it a good shake. But unfortunately, any these apples, they need to, because they're not sprayed or dipped or anything. The minute they hit, they're bruised, they're gone. They're no good. They're not even any good for juice, unless you juice them instantly. But you have to hand pick them. They're actually softer than eggs, because that's the biggest problem we have when people are picking, that they have to be very, very careful. I mean, if they drop them in even, you'll just catch that and you'll feel the bruise. Next thing, you have a black mark the following day. You have to be very, very careful when you're picking.
Where did you learn all this?
Through trial and error. But my mother grew apples, or came from an orchard when she was young, and she's only a mile or two from where she married into here. She's only up the mountain. She was the wire, and they had apples one time. So she would know a good bit about it.
And were they apples for selling or apples for the home?
No, they sold apples. They sold apples in the markets and things.
So this is going back further than just you saw this kind of business?
Yeah, well, I suppose they...
The knowledge of it?
Yeah, it's to set them on, but they'll be on different trees. I've learned a fair bit out of it. Like I said, a lot of trial and error. But yeah, overall, we're kind of getting there.
Do you need, like, the landscape of Kerry? Is it suited to growing apples?
It's the climate, a bit damp, with, like, drier years, colder winters. If you get a mild winter, you don't, the tree don't go dead. The tree needs to switch off for a while. This year might not mean that great, you know. It stops a lot of disease if the tree is left rest for a while and then it peaks up. But overall, Kerry's not the best county, I suppose, to grow them. You've good enough crops and things, and we've no shortage of rain down here, which still a lot of them do have, but we could do maybe a bit less rain, all right.
What makes your apples different?
I suppose that they're when anybody tastes them, know that they're local, they're fresh. There's no chemicals on them whatsoever, so it must be working here because they're still buying them.
And people say a lot, you know, there's a lot of talk about food miles. There aren't many miles of these apples.
No, that's another thing. I suppose they go from here to the core room, and they go from the core room and Sandrum delivers them to the shops.
I don't know if this is the right word, but when you harvest the apples or pick them, is that over a period of weeks or is it all in one go? Or what way do you do that? Because I'd imagine they don't all kind of fruit together or whatever.
No, it's over a period of weeks. You pick the riper ones and you come back. You might have to come back 5, 6, 7 times before it'll be finished. You're always pick them and then they'll be coming ripening on the next lot and the next lot until you finish, and the very last of them, then you probably wouldn't, there's green apples probably be down lower on the trees, and then we'd probably juice all of them, then like the last pick, they'd be nearly all gone for juice. The first pick, the first, second, third pick, it'd be for eating apples for the shops and all that, but after that it is nearly all juice. But we would still let them go as long as we can on the tree to ripen.
And in a good harvest, how many apples would you take off the trees?
You could take in the whole orchard, you could take each tree that says can produce up to 20 kgs, so in a good year. Whoa. But that'd be overall, like, you know, so you'd have 10 kgs of good apples, but every tree obviously won't do that. The middle of the orchard will probably be better where the sheltered areas are, and back under the trees here, but over in the orchard, pins and frost, some years are good years and more years are good bad years. Last year was a good year, the year before was very bad because we got late frost in May, which we don't usually get, and it gave them an awful hammer.
And do you ever pick an apple off a tree yourself and have an old munch of it?
Oh, sure, there's nothing better. There's nothing nicer than, I think that's part of anybody that grows food, there's nothing nicer than walking up and actually catching an apple off a tree and eating it straight. That's part and parcel of people that have a love for food.
I'd say visually, in the October time, it must look impressive with all these trees full, because it kind of reminds me of France or somewhere, you know, where you see the vineyards in a straight row. It must be very impressive to look at.
Yeah, it is, but there's ups and downs in it. You can get it. I remember the year of Storm Ophelia was coming, and we'd only 2 or 3 days, and we knew that there was a savage storm coming, and you could leave a whole crop on the ground. The riper they get, the easier they are to fall off the tree, and we'd be waiting and waiting, and if a storm comes, we have to go, and we have to pick, and we'd be picking Saturdays, Sundays and nights and everything to get them off it. That year we picked nearly night and all, especially to try to get all the top of the tree off, because when that storm came, there was a lot of orchards getting blown out of it, and all the apples, your whole crop is on the ground. After minding them all the year and get so close, you could watch some morning come out, at least if the weather forecasts are so good now, that you kind of notice coming, you'll get some few days notice. So don't be surprised if I give you a ring there at the end of the year if I'm caught, if there's a storm on the way.
Like many small businesses, you have to take on many roles. And Michael's wife, Sandra, is a great example of this.
Sandra O'Dowd, the Ring of Kerry Apple Farm.
Sandra, what's your role within all this?
Well, I suppose I'm stuck in all of it, really, from picking to bagging to delivering. I do all the deliveries. We do all the super values in the county. We also do the fruit and veg shops, Horns and all those. We do the small bottles of apple juice and the big bottles. The small bottles mainly are for restaurants. The main one there would be the Muckross restaurant in the gardens. extremely busy there with them. They take all majority of the small bottles we make.
Was it difficult in the beginning to get customers and to go out there? Was it something you'd done before, or was it a new challenge?
Well, it was a new challenge, really, I suppose. The first place I went was Tralee Super Value. I started off there with 10 kgs of apples, and now, I suppose, to date, we would be delivering maybe 100 kgs of apples a week to them alone, plus all the other Garvey Super Values in Listowel, Dingle. We also do Carsaveen, and we're kept quite busy. There's no time wasting around here.
What do people love about the apples, do you think? Like, we see a lot now of produce, it's coming from overseas and things. So what do you think the customers love about the apple?
I think it's the flavour, the taste of them. There's a lovely taste, a lovely bite in the apple. Like that, we did do a lot of research before we went into it, and the flavour, it's the flavour really that everyone is going for. I get several phone calls there from people that are after buying them in the shops, saying that they have never ate anything like them before.
Yeah.
So that's good.
You're a good saleswoman too.
That's a good salesperson.
And tell me, do you enjoy going out and delivering and meeting people and that kind of side of it?
Well, I suppose it's nice really, because I suppose at the end of the day, farming is kind of isolated. So I do get out a lot, and it is nice to meet the people and have conversations, and which is very good.
Do you help out here? Because I was mentioning to your husband there that it's all hands on deck when it comes to the picking.
Oh yes, hands on deck, whether they want or not. All the kids will be involved as well, and now they're absolutely brilliant. I suppose after they've been reared at it since they were very young, they know it has to be done, so they just come on and get it done for us.
Do you come from a farming background before you married Mike?
No, I didn't come from a farming background. I'm from Ballyheigue. We live in the village. No, I didn't really. It was when I first came in here about 35 years ago that I got involved with the farming, and I'm still here.
There's something wholesome about it, isn't there, though? It goes back to the day of people, you know, knowing where their produce is coming from, and maybe, you know, someone down the road supplying it. There's something nice about that, isn't there?
Yes, I think people are getting more involved and more serious of where the food is coming from, and knowing that it didn't take 8 or 9 months to come from a foreign country, and they ring me in the morning and they have it within maybe an hour. So that's an awful lot of difference for people, and they know it is fresh.
So what does Sandra love about it?
I suppose out in the fresh air, really, when the weather is nice like that. I suppose when you start it, you have to see through. We always work hard, I suppose, really, at it. And look, if it pays off, we'll keep at it.
And it's truly a family business, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, like I said, we have 5 kids, and the 5 of them are involved in a very big way. I mean, we set it there in 2010, and there we are still. You know, they know that what's coming up and what times they will be needed, and look, they're always there for us.
And what are the biggest challenges to Ring of Kerry Apple Farms business?
I suppose the biggest challenge is costs are going up, and I suppose deliveries now, the cost of diesel and things, it's getting more expensive. The bags, the labels, yeah, everything is going up. We have to use a certain amount of spray for the scab. That's got dearer as well. So, yeah, costs are going big time up. And they're a high labour-intensive job as well, which my labour is running. If I hadn't family labour, there wouldn't be hope. I couldn't grow them like that. You wouldn't make anything out of them. Yeah, and the other thing I forgot, I suppose, is that there is 23% VAT on the apple juice, which makes it's classed as a luxury product, which it shouldn't be like. We're in the same class as Coke and Orange and all that. And that's a bit unfair, because it's not that anyway. It should be more of a health product than be classed as a luxury product.
Despite the challenges of running the business, there are enjoyable aspects too for Michael.
I suppose I love the fresh air. I love being outside. It's nice when the family are with you, because most of the times when we're on tractors, we don't be talking to people. You know, that's all gone. You go up on the tractor now all day. It reminds me of old time when you were making hay, winds of hay or something. When the family are in the orchard, you know, you'll hear stories from on them. You might get a bit of a effing every now and then as well, but you have to take the good with the bad.
What made this spot so good for growing apples?
I suppose it's a kind of a gravelly soil. It's very dry. It's close to the farmyard, which is better access, easy access. It's south facing, which we depend on big time on the sun. That was the main reason we picked this site.
And seeing as we're talking about apples, the most important question of all.
Very good. Michael, do you have an apple a day, do you?
I do, maybe 4 or 5 some days.
Well, you'll keep a few doctors away, so.
Yeah, that's our first episode of an 8-part series where we provide an insight into the amazing variety of family food businesses represented in Kerry, produced by Moray Nevi Vahuna. It's a Blast of Kerry, and we'll have another fantastic business for you next week. And my thanks to Michael and Sandra for welcoming me to their Ring of Kerry Apple Farm. Had a great day there, and we wish them continued success. Now, after the break, we'll have interviews that Caitlin Galvin did at the Wild Mind Festival, which was on recently in Phoenix. Remember, we were talking about that a few weeks back. And Caitlin, of course, is one of our students at the Radio Kerry, Kerry College Broadcasting course. So we'll take a break with more after these.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Sean Lynch and John O'Rahilly, Hogan's Funeral Home, Tralee.
Yes, and we got a message in from someone wishing Johnny Egan another happy birthday, 99 years of age, and said that they came in late to the programme because they were doing Darkness into Light. And did I know that it was his birthday? And I did. I announced it, yes. So thanks for that. Hi, Joe. Very interesting listening to Michael about growing apples and his beehives. I have just 5 apple trees. Can't imagine 1,000 apple trees and the work involved. That comes in from Charles. Thanks a million. Yeah. It is not for the faint-hearted, and it's amazing to hear, you know, when Ophelia was coming in that time, that they had to be harvested or else they'd be all on the ground, your crop would be lost. It's, you know, just shows the dedication to it. Now, I mentioned that a few weeks back we had we were talking about Wild Mind Festival in Phoenix, and we were very lucky that Caitlin Galvin, a student of ours in the Radio Kerry, Kerry College Digital Broadcasting course, went along to the event and interviewed Niamh Nigul, who is a biodiversity, nature and ecology garden educator from just outside Tralee, part of Transition Kerry, a community-based initiative. Niamh and her cohorts have helped build a foundation of networks focused on building resilience and sustainability in communities throughout the county. So have a listen to this.
My name is Niamh Nigul, and I live just outside Tralee, and I'm here with a community and voluntary group called Transition Kerry, and we have a network, a broader network called From the Ground Up, which is kind of at the whole of Kerry based. But yeah, we're here at the Wild Mind today and yesterday and Friday actually. So Wild Mind Festival's out in Phoenix. We were here in 2018 where we did a workshop about environmental issues and sustainability and biodiversity, and then in 2019 we came back where we were applying for LEADER funding to run a program engaging communities with biodiversity and issues around climate. So it was actually at Wild Mind where we stood with our stall and we gave out flyers, and we had no idea who might come to these programs or these courses or how it would devolve really. And after that, from Wild Mind, by the following September we started programs in 4 areas: North Kerry, West Kerry, Tralee, and East Kerry happened a bit later. And we also did separately a programme down in South Kerry as well. And I suppose there were, the big element was, and it's a big title, and it's called Transition Kerry Community Biodiversity and Climate Change Leadership Programme. And side by side, we ran a Transition Kerry Transition Farming Programme as well, and that was more engaging with farmers. Because of the circumstances that happened, we started it in kind of September, October. Just say the Tralee one, we based ourselves in Tralee Bay wetlands and in the Moidreuil allotments. And then we visited different communities like Ballymac or the Spa or different places. And then I suppose in West Kerry we were out in the Corcommon, Ballyferriter, Dingle, the Gordine and D-shirt, and we were also in Camp and Castle Gregory. And then North Kerry we were based between Ballyduff, I'm going to say, if I forget anywhere now, I'm really sorry in advance, and Ballyduff and Kilflynn as well. And then East Kerry was places like Curragh, Cordell, Curran's. And so just from that, the programme, because COVID came, in terms of resilience and community resilience and building networks, we kept going through, like, obviously there was restrictions at different times, so we met online sometimes as well, and then as soon as we could get the 5 kilometre or the get back out to communities, people were really wanting to meet again outdoors, and that's from all of that. We had a celebration, the programme went on for nearly three years.
What is involved in the programme?
So the first thing we did was really bring people together, and I think a lot of people didn't know what they were getting into, because they would say, oh, leadership, like, who, you know, if, but what we were trying to engage with was people who were already being active in their community. So naturally that's going to be people maybe involved with tidy towns or their estate residence associations or development groups. So in a way, but then some people are just by themselves, they weren't in a community group and they were able to join as well. I suppose the first session usually was where we looked at the issues around global issues, and then from that, the global issues to do with food, energy, even how we're living our daily lives and the impact on nature. And I suppose from that, and back into your own communities, because I suppose when you're looking at the global issues around climate, a changing climate or the biodiversity crisis, like, you'd actually not want to get out of bed. And I suppose what we've learned from, because as Transition Kerry, we started as a group in around 2007, and we invited two people who were going around Ireland at the time talking about the idea. When you hear transition, it was about how can we transition to a more sustainable, environmental and resilient communities, you know, so that people start feeling less, because like humans can often feel isolated, nature, we've fragmented, we've broken up nature into bits, so we are nature, like, we're part of nature and we can't separate ourselves from nature. So I suppose a lot of people, they're already involved in their communities and they really want to go out and do things, but they either don't know where to start, or, and it's not a criticism, but they might be doing things that are actually not helping nature. So a lot of groups would have been very focused on keeping things tidy, which in the past meant spraying, weeding, mowing, strimming. And it's not, we're, like, some things we'd be, so when we come to groups and we're working with them, actually the first thing we do is come up with a bit of a plan. Because what most people, and we try and map what's there already, because actually a lot of people, they might go, oh, that's just a, you know, a messy patch. But to us, that's actually where all the nature is, that might be the only little sanctuary that nature has. So if you see a patch of brambles or nettles or ivy or a thicket of trees, that's where your hares are going to live and your butterflies. And Mike O'Neill here, who's part of the whole Wild Mind Festival Committee, he'd always be talking about one of the big things with Wild Mind Festival is to celebrate the community that we share with all nature. So it's humans, the sea, the rocks, the stones, the soil, the butterflies. Like, it's all life, because it's trying to really bring about back the understanding that we all have in our brain, we all have it, it's actually in our memories, that we cannot live without clean fresh air, clean water, really healthy soil, and it's the web of life and all the interconnections between it all. In a way, we've become very separated from that, and we think we can control it and manage it and keep it tidy, and we've been told that's the way to go. But inside, that's maybe where I love the wild mind idea, because it's the wilding of the mind and the spirit, and it's to really celebrate the wildness that's around us. Like, we are so, like, we're standing here now looking over at the beautiful Dingle Peninsula. We've got Tralee Bay here, heading into, there's Cathair Cunree, and we're heading back into Tralee, and we've the Fianna Fáil coastline. Like, we've this, well, people I know, they call it the Wild Atlantic Way, but sometimes we take the wildness out because we're making it all maybe more convenient for people, or we forget, and it could be some simple things where people, they're tidying up an area, but actually by leaving areas more wild and maybe just putting up a sign and saying to people, oh, this is where our butterflies live, and because we're leaving this nettle patch and these are the 3 butterflies that need this nettle patch to live, and this hawthorn tree that's here, you know, that is a home for all these insects, and or it might be, you know, just areas like even near the wetlands in Tralee. We've been working a lot with the wetlands as well, and that came from this programme as well. We use we worked with the wetlands to put in a demonstration native hedgerow, a native woodland, and now we've been working with them on more projects under Law Pro to create willow areas. And our theme in this was the wonders of willow, to celebrate willow, because willow grows naturally along the wetlands because it loves to live in wet land. And so I suppose what we're trying to do is shift that thinking. Our native plants are here because they've actually evolved with the conditions, the ocean, the sea, the salty winds, and they're part of our shared community. So one of the real things we were trying to do was, instead of maybe focusing on the apocalypse, it's more, what can we do? And actually, what most people, if you ask people what their memories are, you know, when they were younger, it's usually being out in nature, playing in fields, playing in the sea, playing on the beach. When people remember that, they remember. We kind of can take that for granted, and we think that Ireland's full of real clean everything, but actually our habitats are really under pressure and they're really being degraded. But instead of making people feel bad about all that, a lot of people, they don't intentionally mean to do it, and it's just what they've been told to do. So we were trying to maybe show other ways of doing it, and it could be down to the simplest thing, that you just mow your garden differently. And for some people that was a radical thing. Instead of being out there every week mowing it militantly, they started going, okay, I'll mow this bit, the edges, every week because it looks neat, but I'll leave the other bits a bit wilder and just see what comes up. And we also wanted to kind of get across that idea that you don't have to run off and buy nature. Like, nature is here if we give her time to restore herself. So often in your garden you'll be amazed at the plants that start coming up. So people were suddenly finding, even along the Tralee bypass, little orchids were coming up, and it was because the council had stopped mowing it, because there's a no-mow May with the pollinator plan, where they ask people not to mow your grass in May except for your pathways. And so you'll see at the moment, if you're coming in and out of Tralee, the dandelions are all in there, you know, going to seed. But if this was 5 years ago, they would have all been mowed within an inch of their life. So we work with local authorities, we work with lots of the community groups we work with, are in the Kerry Public Participation Network, the PPN, and that's affiliated with they work with the council and community groups, where you just try and bring people together to have conversations that sometimes can be a bit difficult, or because you're kind of asking people to change how they're doing things. But I suppose what we found with the program was, because it went on for longer than we expected, it was only meant to be 12 months. And because it went on for nearly 3 years, the webs of connection and the networks are much stronger. So it's not like we've changed everything, but the conversations are going on, and little projects are happening. And one group sees what Ballyduff are doing and they go to Kilflynn and they do it, and they're kind of helping each other with things like projects like that.
It's a really important conversation to be having, especially at the moment. Especially like globally, we're very much under pressure. Yeah. So it is wonderful that we have that here in Kerry. If our listeners wanted to find out a bit more, maybe how they could participate, where could they get involved, how can they contact either yourself or the committee, or how does that work?
So I do like to say, when as Transition Kerry, like, we are a voluntary steering group, and I suppose we have been so inspired by this network that's from the ground up. They're giving us the energy to continue, because sometimes you need to change how you're doing things as well, you know. Depending on where you live, there is probably a community group close to you wherever you are. So, but in terms of Transition Kerry, we're only we only have the energy, just say now, I'll put my hand up, I have to do a bit of social media. You'd rather other sometimes you're not so good at, or, you know, so I could say go to our website, but it needs to be, what would you call, done up a bit. Facebook, you'll find us on Facebook, and we will post any events that are happening. And even if we're not involved, we're sharing other people's events. So there might be workshops in the allotments in Tralee, or there might be something, courses happening up in Ballyduff. So we'll share all that information. So there'll be Transition Kerry. If you're in Ballyduff, look up Ballyduff Tidy Towns. If you're in Curragh, there's the Rural Development Association. If you're in Sneem or Kenmare, they have. So a lot of us work on Facebook to kind of share things. You can track us always down somewhere like Tralee Bay Wetlands, or start asking and you'll find us. And then we'll try and point you in the direction if something's happening, or we can put you, or you can join a mailing list on our newsletter, which we should do more often. We're always looking for younger people to get involved who might be more savvy and all that, because you can only do so much, like, you know. So and I used to be the young person on our committee. So we need people a bit younger than me now again. So I suppose that's it. If you ask, or come looking through the transition Kerry or the messaging stuff, and we'll, there's a few groups as well, like there's a few plant seed swap share, they're all on WhatsApp, and again they're very informal, but anyone can join them. So if you're in Tralee and you don't want to be buying loads of seeds, we actually all swap and share seeds, but those groups are open to anyone to join, but you just need to track down one of us and we give you the link. Yeah,
brilliant. So thank you very much.
Yeah, that's Niamh Gould, interviewed by Caitlin Galvin at the Wild Mine Festival in Phoenix. And we're going to bring you another interview that Caitlin did with a very interesting man after these.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Sean Lynch and John O'Rahilly, Hogan's Funeral Home, Tralee.
Lovely childhood memories of our orchard that my dad took such good care of. I remember he used to paint the bottom of the trees with lime in a certain time of year. Sadly, it's long gone, as is Dad. Catherine Enright, Aaron Ballylongford. Thanks a million for that, Catherine. Lovely memories there. And yeah, lots of people had orchards, didn't they? And a lot of them would do for cooking apples as well, the Bramleys, isn't it? Yeah. So thanks a million for that message. 083 300 3300. Now we're going to return to the interviews Caitlin Galvin did at the Wild Mind Festival, and she met up with Paddy Bloom, who is an inventor, artist and explorer hailing from the city of Belfast. So have a listen to this.
So, my name's Paddy Bloomer. I'm an artist. I'm based in County Down, and I make various machines and devices. These machines don't really have 9-to-5 jobs.
That's great. And can you tell us a bit about the machines, maybe some of the inventions and machines that you brought here today to the Wild Mind Festival?
Yes, well, I've brought the barn down to the Wild Mind, which is a mobile venue. So it's Ireland's only pneumatic agricultural outbuilding. It's not Ireland's only one, actually. It's Ireland's original nomadic agricultural outbuilding. But I've brought that down. I've got a pedal generator here, which is made out of a Sinclair C5, which was the 1980s transport concept that didn't really catch on. So I've repurposed it into a pedal generator. So you turn the pedals, it generates electric, and you can play music with it. For some reason, it only plays 80s music. So we haven't figured out why that is. Oh, I've got what's called the Texas Chainsaw Massager. So it was just, you know, I thought some people were a bit uptight and needed to relax a bit. So I converted this chainsaw into a piece of massage equipment, which gives a pretty pretty intense massage, and you can relax really hard.
What inspires your creativity and your innovation? Is there anything in particular that springs to mind when that question's asked?
Well, some of it comes from I'm always finding things. So some of it comes from what I find or my materials that I have. You know, I'm not usually starting with a blank canvas. I'm picking up a piece of equipment, or I find a machine and find a way it can be changed. Also conversations with people and meeting people, and you know, some of these ideas you just are things you chat about, and then you know, a wee part of that conversation turns into a bigger project. So I suppose those are the two things, the two main factors.
Brilliant, thank you. And you tend to document as well a lot of your journey with your creations. Is there somewhere our listeners can find all of that information?
Yes, I've got stuff on YouTube, Paddy Bloomer on YouTube. I'm not as good at documenting things as I should be, I think. Sometimes it comes as an afterthought, but I've got a website as well, paddybloomer.com.
Brilliant, thank you. And do you participate in many festivals like Wild Mind, or what is your outlet to show your creations?
Yes, so this is the first festival of the year for me, but I do a lot of events like this. I'm travelling about Ireland, so I do a lot of music festivals and other kind of community events and environmental events and art events. So yes, a lot of what I do tends to be shown outdoors. So it usually gets shown in the summer months, festival fairs, you know, flas, fetes, all of this.
Yeah, wonderful interviews there, conducted by Caitlin Galvin of our Radio Kerry Kerry College Broadcasting course. So well done there, Caitlin, for bringing us those insightful, very interesting interviews from the Wild Mind Festival in Phoenix. And Petty Bloomer sounds like a very interesting man. I love the name Texas Chainsaw Massager. And our own Abigail Bernard was there, and she had a great time. And I think she try out the massager? I'm not sure, but she tried the pedal bike and she did all these different things there. So she really enjoyed her time there. And again, thanks to Caitlin for that. That's all we have time for. Where does the time go? Thanks a million to everyone who got in touch with us today. Lots of people getting in touch from all over the county and beyond. And remember, our theme for next month's photography slot with Dominic Walsh is You Are My Sunshine. And well done to our photo of the month and our humour photo of the month as well. And I must put those up on our Facebook page later. So check in Radio Kerry's Facebook page to see those wonderful photos. Francis is on the way, so keep it here on Radio Kerry. My thanks to Abigail Bernard, who was on sound. I'll be back again next Saturday from 9 a.m. Until then, look after yourself, have a great weekend, and take care of yourself.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Sean Lynch and John O'Rahilly, Hogan's Funeral Home, Tralee.